Well, in this message, we're going to be talking about a subject that a lot of us like to run away from, and it's called the subject of fear. And we're really titling this message, The Many Disguises of Fear. And, you know, when we have a fear fixation or a focus or an obsession, it's really paralytic. It's really a paralysis, Barbara, and I'm glad that you're willing to work with me on this subject. And I have worked on this for a lot of years, but, or we could also say this is a message on Satan's secret weapon called fear. And we want to get away from that. So what definitions do you have on the spirit of fear?
Well, first of all, I want to pray because this is an area that touches. Well, it touches everybody's lives, Darren.
You want to pray and because you're afraid.
No, I want to pray because God's given us an answer
to
this horrible, horrible, paralyzing characteristic that Satan has thrown at almost every person. I don't believe fear has escaped one person on this earth. And there's a lot more reasons to be fearful today than ever before after September 11th. And so I'm really thankful that God has given us the answer to the fear and the antidote to fear.
Well, then let's pray. Let's go forward. Father God, I thank you that we are greater than the spirit of fear. And Lord God, you so accurately identified it. It's not an emotion. It's not a thing. It's a spirit. And Lord, we thank you. It's also not a condition. It's not something that we just get psychologically. But it is a spirit of fear that operates, first of all, in the spirit world. It's so pervasive in our world today. And we thank you that we have the power over the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Now, you've heard it, Darren, that sometimes people have said 80% of what you worry about never comes to pass. Well, that's one of the definitions of fear. And fear comes from the Greek word, which means danger. And it's a painful emotion excited by an expectation of evil. You're expecting evil to happen. And that's why I said 80% of what we worry about, sometimes it just doesn't happen. So fear comes from an expectation, painful emotion of expectation. Maybe somebody's going to break into my house. Somebody's going to steal my car, that kind of thing. Or an apprehension of danger. And it also is number 3372 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means the emotional or intellectual anticipation. Here's that word, anticipating harm. That means that we're worrying about something we don't know about yet. So what one feels may go wrong for him. And those are all things that haven't happened yet, but Satan loves to keep us apprehensive.
You know, when you give the statistics that I've heard a lot of times for many years, 80% of what you worry about never comes to pass. I say, well, praise God. It's a good thing that it doesn't. But you know, in Revelation 21:8, and folks, I want to tell you, fear is not an option for a Christian. Sometimes they say, well, that's just the way I am, or that's just the way Auntie is, or my mother was this way, or my dad was that way. Well, let's see what the Word of God says. You know, we always have to go with the standard of truth, and that's the Word of God. And here's what it says in Revelation 21, verse 8. But for the fearful, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, boy, I tell you, the fearful are in a horrible group of people. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Wow. And Darren, here it says fearful and the unbelieving. We see here that fear and doubt and unbelief are cousins. And fear comes to even the, it tries to come on the Christian when doubt and unbelief of God's gracious ability is questioned. When we question who God is, that's an open door for fear to jump right in.
But you see, this verse right here, the fearful, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, pornographers, sorcerers, idolaters, palm readers, I mean, it puts you in a horrible group, and I don't want to be there. I've got to tell you, I just do not want to be there. No. Well, you know, one of the things that fear is really Hollywood to the max because of the disguises, and it masquerades as, you know, even that movie, that the sum of all fears. Now, we went to see that thing, and what a waste of money.
Well,
it wasn't even well done.
Well,
but
yes,
it isn't really the sum of all fears.
And my favorite actor, Morgan Freeman, was killed. So,
so I didn't like it.
I walked out of there saying, whoa, this is not my movie.
So you're fearful that he didn't make it.
That's right.
Well, in Matthew 8:26, Jesus talking about men of little faith. And in Matthew 10, verse 28, it says, don't fear the one that can kill the flesh or kill the body, but the one that can kill the soul and the body. That's where fear really comes in.
Yes. Can I go back to Matthew 8:26? Jesus here was stilling a storm. And so many times, Darren, we hear fear comes from people that see storms coming or hail storms were a huge opportunity for us on the farm to get fearful. It really was. And when we saw those dark clouds rolling and they flattened out and Dad would say, oh, looks like a little hail in this storm, I would just get fearful. I'd start praying to God, God, you can't bring hail because it would hail out our crops and we'd lose everything. So these storms can be a real opportunity for fear. But Jesus here rebuked the storm. That means in this day and age, Darren, when a storm comes, we can put our hand up to that storm and say, storm be gone in the name of Jesus, because he did it.
But, you know, when you're on a farm, though, what you're looking at is there's your livelihood out there in the open,
yes,
unprotected, at least in the natural. And if you don't know how to pray, that hail is going to come and wipe you out. And that means that mom and dad are going to be under a lot of stress financially if they don't have a crop that they can take to the elevator or the beet dump if you're raising sugar beets. I mean, you're going to be out for a whole year, and you don't have time to replant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole year's worth of loss.
Yes, it is. So Jesus here not only rebuked the storm, Darren, but he rebuked the timidity in those men who were unable to stand up against that storm. And I know we have a friend in the northeast part of Colorado that when they see storms coming, she tells those storms to take any hail that is in there, melt it so that it comes down as gentle rain. I believe we have the authority to do that. And Jesus hates timidity. He hates shrinking back. And so here's one in Matthew 8:26 that tells us we need to be strong in those times, not fearful.
Well, also in Matthew 10, may I go on now?
Yes, okay. I'm sorry.
I know you're not sorry.
No, I'm not sorry.
You're not afraid either,
not
right?
Afraid.
Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body and are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell.
Now, here's two examples of fear. One is don't fear man, don't fear the predator who may kill your physical body, but honor and reverence the one who is going to kill both spirit and soul in hell. That means God himself. We need to be reverent. We need to be respectful. We need to honor him above all. And that fear is honoring and respecting God, who, you know, he is the judge of all. And we need to have a clear conscience before him.
Well, there's another sea story here in Matthew 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Fear had gripped their hearts, and they
yes.
were scared.
Now, that's number 5401 in your Strong's Concordance in the New Testament. And the Greek word there, Darren, is phobos. And from that comes the word phobia. And we see a lot of people, they get a habit of doing things a certain way, of fearing things, and it becomes their identity, and it becomes a phobia to them for the rest of their life. I know of a dear little lady, we were doing her house, and she had locks, more than 3 or 4, and alarms on every door. She had a phobia about people coming in on her property and hurting her. And so the fear can't, if we don't get rid of that fear, if we don't address the fear, it can become a phobia and become our whole identity. So number 5401, that's phobia, and it causes a shrinking back of what God wants us to be.
You know, I think about the Psalm 16 that says, "In his presence is fullness of joy."
I love that.
Now, in this story here about Jesus walking on the water, he talks to Peter and he says, "Come here, Peter." And Peter, you know, was afraid. And he started to sink when he looked at his circumstances. But then it says there's a very interesting verse in verse 32. "And when they," meaning Peter and Jesus, "got into the boat, the wind stopped."
Oh, yeah.
Now, we need to know that Jesus is in our boat. I mean, he should be in our boat, right?
Yes.
And I believe that when we take on these, and all these stories here that we have in the New Testament are symptoms of fear, situations of fear. And if you're enslaved to that, you need to get out of it. And, you know, you need to say, "Listen, I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of being over the edge. I'm tired of this psychological warfare," which really, that's what Satan does. And, you know, all the great armies of the world have learned psychological warfare. How can we scare the wits out of the enemy so they turn and run?
Mm-hmm.
And that's every commander's worry, is that his troops are going to turn tail, as they say, and their backsides are going to be exposed to the enemy. They're going to be running over the hill.
Well, and you know these new programs on TV, I don't watch them because I don't want to get my mind
full of
that.
How would I know these new programs?
But Fear Factor. Fear yeah, Factor.
Right. That's
and
right.
They have mice and rats and snakes and all kinds of stuff running all over your head and that kind of thing.